Oh, how nice it is to have a little bit of football back in our lives. The Big 12 has finally released their schedule, basically the same time that they did it last year. It was 364 days ago that they released the 2023 schedule. We were all excited about, okay, who are the new teams K-State is going to get to play? Who are they going to see? Who won't they see? We have all that same stuff going on this year now, and we do finally have answers on. We knew who they were going to play, but now we know what the order is, how the road trips will look. And as always, like, the teams don't change, just like when the NFL schedule gets released, but it's always about how the puzzle is put together. How difficult will it be for you? And that's what we plan on doing here over the next, 30 minutes or whatever, is dissecting what K-State has going on with their schedule, given our thoughts. And then if anybody has any questions, you can throw them in the YouTube comment section, and we'll try our best to get to those. So without further ado, here is a look at the K-State schedule that was put out by the Big 12 earlier today. We already knew about the first three games: UT Martin, the road trip to Tulane, and then Arizona will be played as a non-conference game, even though both teams will have the Big 12 logo on their chest. The one addition that we did get to this is that that game is scheduled to either be played on a Friday or Saturday in Manhattan. And I would compare this to the Illinois KU scheduled game last year when it came out. The initial response was, hey, it's a Friday or a Saturday. My guess is if there's a Friday or Saturday with two power conference teams, they are going to play that game on a Friday night. So I would just tell people to be prepared to be in Manhattan on September 13th. For a Friday night game. And I know that there will be some complaints there from fans about high school football. I'm sure the K-State coaching staff has their own complaints about that. And we'll talk about that with DY here in a second, because we already talked about yesterday some of the issues that could come from that, especially with K-State's schedule. Then Big 12 play. I mean, it's K-State. I know you fans are ready for it, but they start on the road for Big 12 play at BYU, the first trip to Provo for the Wildcats. Return home to face a classic Big 8 foe in Oklahoma State. Then the first bye week of the season. This will be a season with two bye weeks because of the way the calendar works out. But after that, back-to-back road games to mountainous areas, Colorado, Deion Sanders on tap, and then the week after that out east to West Virginia to face the Mountaineers. Then return home, you play KU, you get the road trip to Houston, and then another bye week before back-to-back home games with newcomer Arizona State, the first look at Cincinnati for the Wildcats in the Big 12, and then what is becoming somewhat of a tradition, the final game of the season, K-State, Iowa State, Farmageddon from Ames. K-State obviously looking to avenge their loss from a season ago. So that is how the schedule looks. What is the instant reaction to what K-State has on tap for 2024?
I'll just start from like a quality standpoint of where like the difficulty may lie, just from a competitive standpoint. I think it's, in all reality, this is a very complicated beginning portion of their schedule. It is very front loaded because I know they have a new coach, but Tulane in their house is probably going to be a bit of a challenge. That's a team that's contended for, you know, not BCS, but New Year's Six Bowls each of the last 2 years. There's a pedigree that is there. They're going to be talented for a group of five team. When you play Tulane, you don't get the typical group of five talent level. That's just the way it is. Kansas State already lost to them, right? At home when Emily Fritz is a coach. I think that was 2 years ago. Arizona, we'll see, but they may be the Big 12 favorite. They certainly would have been if Jed Fish was remained as the coach. Without him there, maybe they don't get the benefit of the doubt, but they've kept a lot of the talent in tow there, despite the coaching change. BYU and Provo, that's tough for anyone, regardless of how good or not good they are. That's just a tough place to play. Oklahoma State, typically that's been a hard game for Kansas State, and they have a Alan Bowman back miraculously. So they're not going to be trash at all. They're probably going to be pretty competent and maybe even dangerous. So they just nearly won the Big 12 and they have Ollie Gordon back in the backfield. And then Colorado, say what you want. There's a lot of talent on that roster too. And you probably have to go to Boulder early enough. that their depth won't be as challenged yet. It's probably better to play Colorado in November. Unfortunately, K-State gets them at the beginning of October. So, yeah, that's the five of the first six games. I hate to say this. I'm not saying they will lose all these, but five of the first six games are losable.
I think Drew is muted or we can't hear him. So I don't know what's going on there. He'll get it figured out. Look, I'm with you. It's not the easiest kind of start to things for K-State, considering what you think you'll be facing. The Arizona thing is very, very interesting just from the standpoint. It doesn't count for a conference game, but you do feel like that will be a tone setter for how you feel about K-State in the Big 12 in 2024, where obviously they're really good. They did a really nice job of retaining a lot of their talent that we thought initially, hey, maybe you're going to lose quarterback and a bunch of other important spots. That did not happen, and that makes Arizona really dangerous. And the biggest wrinkle to the schedule to me is having to go to Tulane this season. So you get one less home game than you're accustomed to, and like that's just not a good spot to be in. Those road games can be tricky in the non-con, especially when you're playing, you know, an opponent that we're not going to know what to expect from Tulane now that Fritz is gone. You'd think they'd be lesser, but who really knows? So the schedule does certainly get off to a bit of a tricky start, and you probably like to front load it a little bit more with like Arizona State and Cincinnati as opposed to, you know, Oklahoma State and Arizona and then two road trips to BYU and Colorado.
Conversely, the back end is a little bit more navigable, so you could finish pretty strongly there with Arizona State, Cincinnati, maybe your revenge in Ames. We'll see Houston on the road. You probably still feel pretty good about that one as well. So you do get a light finish compared to what the start of it is. So I know I agree. I mean, and that Arizona game is going to tell us a lot about this team. You talked about the trickiness of it, and I've said this to people before, even before the timings of these games kind of came out, is that you remember what Texas Tech had to go through at the beginning of last year, where they play a group of a solid group of five team on the road and then go and play, I think, two games in mountainous areas. Well, Kansas State has a tricky, you know, road group of five game as well against probably a more talented team than even Texas Tech faced last year. Then they get and Texas Tech at Oregon, right? Kansas State as Arizona. So, I mean, I'm not saying Oregon is as good or is on the same level of Arizona, but that's still similar. And Kansas State, you know, Tech had to go to those mountain. I think they played at Wyoming. I think they played at BYU. And I think they played at West Virginia in a matter of like 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, Kansas State is BYU, Colorado, and West Virginia pretty grouped well together there as well. So this schedule, unfortunately for me, there is good things about the schedule. And if you have a good start to the year, you feel really good about what you can do with it. But I just get a little bit of flashbacks that kind of terrify me about what Texas Tech had to go through last year. Still no Drew here on the audio. So.
No Drew, yeah, I don't know what he's got going on over there. Hey, look at that! Did you have the mic turned on?
The mic was on before, but it wasn't like fully connected or whatever. Yeah.
All right, hey, he's here, folks. Drew Galloway, 9 minutes in, ready to join the party.
So one of the good things about the schedule, I think, is where the bye weeks lie, because you could get them in a lot worse spots with two, but so having one of them come right after kind of the gauntlet that is September, and then kind of as the schedule is dying down, and you hope to just get more guys back probably in the bye week in November. So that's one of the good things, I would say. But then one of the tough thing, I think, is the 2 weeks going from Boulder to West Virginia, I think would be that's probably not where you want to have those two games back to back, because of the time change, because of the travel. So it'll be interesting to see
time change, because it's not just like, you know, there are going to be teams now in the new Big 12 that they are going to go, you know, Pacific or Mountain to the Central. But I wonder how many are going to have like K-State, where you're going to go Central to Mountain and then back to Central and then back to the East. Like that's a weird little thing. And I know that we've seen in the past, like, you remember when Nevada came and Norvell had his guys, they came like 3 days early and were camping out in Wamego or something. Like the time change thing, it's a real deal that spooks these coaches. And that's why it'll be interesting to see what time these games are. I mean, we've already seen it in basketball. K-State's going to be playing a 9 o'clock tip in Provo, but next weekend. So like football, it's going to be the same thing. Eventually you're going to get shoehorned into some of these late kicks if you're a Big 12 team that's not accustomed to it like K-State.
And you can easily have that Colorado game be at like 9 and then the West Virginia game be at like 6. So it would be
it would be worse if West Virginia was still 11 a.m.
Yeah. Like the time thing will definitely be interesting to see. And I don't think that anybody else has like that mountain to central to the east.
I bet they do. That might be hard to like avoid. And when all these conferences are basically going nationwide, it's probably, you know, something that's going to be unavoidable at times, especially in basketball when you have to go to most of these places. You don't just go to 4 or 5. So, I mean, Kansas State, fortunately for them, is they only have one game on the Eastern time zone, and is West Virginia. I mean, I guess if you're going to kind of look at it that way, it's like, well, at least we don't have to play also at Cincinnati and at UCF because we already are at BYU and at Colorado.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. So we have a bunch of different time zones for K-State that they'll play in this year. They'll play in 3 different time zones. They're going to go on the road to really a bunch of different areas. It's not like, you know, when you go to Stillwater and Ames and all these, and you're like, it's basically like being in Kansas. There's not much difference here. You're going to be in mountains. You're going to be in bayous down in Louisiana to start the season. Like, there's a lot going on here. There are the two bye weeks that K-State ends up getting because of the calendar. I think the last season that happened was 2016, maybe, is what was mentioned earlier. So that is something to be aware of. Where they fall for K-State, because we talked about, you know, last season, it felt like maybe that bye came too early for K-State with how things were set up. It came at the right time for Oklahoma State, who looked like dog crap, and then they figured everything out after that. K-State, it seemed like maybe it could have come a little bit later. So that ends up being weeks 5 and 10, November 9th and October 5th. What do we make of K-State's bye week positioning?
I don't know if I can explain any further than you already have. I do think they come at good times. You get it after playing somewhat of a September gauntlet, as Drew noted, when you get Tulane, Arizona, BYU, and Oklahoma State, and you get right before – you have to take that tricky road trip that we just mentioned to Colorado and West Virginia, right? If you're going to play those games back-to-back, at least you have a bye week before them, I guess, is maybe your saving grace. And then I guess maybe I would want the other one to be immediately after that KU game, but the fact that it comes a week later after Houston, then you get a bye right before your 3-game finish of Arizona State, Cincinnati, and Iowa State. I mean, I don't know if there's a whole lot different. That KU game will be pretty significant. So that's why I mentioned maybe wanting a bye week before that. Also, I mean, or maybe you want a bye week before the KU game, because maybe facing KU at home, which you like it, that it's in Manhattan, you feel like you're not going to lose to them at home. But having to do that right after that 2-game road trip is probably not ideal.
Yeah, the bye weeks, I don't know if you could have put them in a better spot unless you had it either.
Especially the first one. The second one, I think you can kind of maybe debate.
Yeah, the first one, though, perfect spot. Second one, you maybe want it before KU, maybe after KU. But you would hope that you get through the first one and you feel good about yourself. And then the second one, I think the only thing that you could maybe say would be bad is if you get through the Colorado, West Virginia, KU, Houston game, and you're rolling, the only bad thing would be like the timing of that would just kind of throw you off a little bit.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. You bring up the KU game at the end of October. KU, they're 2 weeks before the K-State game. They'll have their bye week, and then the weekend before, they'll be at home against Houston. They'll be playing that game at Arrowhead. So that is what they get. So very much different. And that's going to be another key thing that we're already kind of seeing in basketball with how everything has worked out. But definitely in football this coming year where there's all these teams is that it's not just about when you're playing them in relation to your schedule. It's what are they coming off of? What is your opponent dealing with? And certainly, I mean, I think if you're K-State or KU, you'd rather have bye week home game and then your big game as opposed to back-to-back roadies and then you play that. But the benefit to K-State there is they are getting the home game against KU, which you would think would be enough to get them over the top in that game. A couple of other things here. Arizona is a topic of discussion because on there it says the 14th, but we know that's a 13th or 14th thing. And last year, that's what the KU-Illinois game looked like, and then it inevitably was a Friday like would be anticipated. I imagine that ends up being a Friday game when all is said and done because the TV networks will look at it and say, yeah, two Big 12 teams on a Friday night, let's do it. That's why KU-Illinois was there. They said Big 12, Big 10, yep, Friday night, let's do it. Get us some TV. What kind of impact does that have on K-State and their fans? Because it's a Friday, high school football is in full swing, and you already only have six home games this coming season for K-State. So, I mean, how much of a wrinkle and detriment is that to them?
Excuse me. Contrary to what is out there, I don't think that it will affect the Kansas State attendance too much. Hey, I love some high school football every now and then, but I don't think folks are going to, you know, not sell out Bill Snyder Family Stadium because they want to go watch a high school football game on Friday night instead. Unfortunately for those high schoolers and their coaches is that the high school games will probably be the ones that take the brunt of that hit. If we're just speaking from an attendance standpoint, I don't think Kansas State's taking that hit, but if I was Kansas State, I would be a little miffed to an extent because not only did we not get a bone there and we got four league games instead of five. So to left us with only six home games this year. Now you're making us play one of those games on a Friday. So that gives us one less recruiting weekend. So Kansas State's going to be sitting there this year, but probably five recruiting weekends, and that's going to be two or three less than everybody else. So that would probably be the point of contention. Probably much less about playing on Friday in general. I don't think it is what it is when it comes from television anymore. Big Ten plays on Friday. I mean, the SEC with the amount of, you know, inventory that they have, I bet they'll have some Thursday or Friday games as well. It's not going to be just exclusive to the Big 12. I'm actually surprised there's not more on Friday in the league. I haven't looked. Maybe there is, and I just didn't notice yet. But I imagine Thursday gets used a bit too. I don't think those things in isolation are what anger athletic departments. It's those that sometimes it draws an inconvenience where you get one less recruiting weekend, especially in one where you're already down to six.
Yeah, you feel like you kind of got double dogged if you're K-State right there, where you would have looked at the Big 12 and said, hey, how can you not do us a solid here? Like, you look around, if you're K-State, Oklahoma State, KU, and Iowa State, you're probably saying, hey, we've been here through thick and thin. We've been here for the long haul. Like, help us out a little bit. And K-State didn't get that initially when they already know that they have a road non-con game. And the conferences get thrown on their heads, schedules messed up. So you would say, can you not give us that extra home conference game? They don't do it this year. And then look, you can step up to the plate and say something. If you're the Big 12 and be like, hey, this game, let's not even mess with the Friday deal. I get that. I think every Big 12 team or close to everyone is going to end up having a Thursday or Friday game. As we continue on, we saw it last year. It was pretty close to that.
Just do it on the road for K-State.
But, this team. Yeah. But the problem is that you're taking advantage of, you know, a team that already is kind of, you know, getting the short end of the stick. So I think that is frustrating. And I would say that there is a legitimate gripe to be had with the Big 12 on that and how that plays out. But it's minor in the grand scheme of things. You're just going to have to maximize the five games you do get to host recruits.
Yeah. I mean, my thing is like looking at the some of the road games that they play in, like wouldn't like Kansas State at BYU or Colorado been perfect for a Friday too? That's what I would say.
Yeah. Like, well, didn't Colorado play like three Friday games last year? So like they're primed for it.
Yeah,
that's probably why they're not now.
Yeah, Kansas State at Colorado would have been perfect for a Friday. Heck, Black Friday night, Kansas State at Iowa State. Let's do that.
Yeah,
that would have been pretty cool, actually.
I'll also say that a funny thing that I saw on one of the other schedules, I think it's West Virginia Cincinnati, says either Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. So at least there's not that. Like
it's Arizona has one of those. Arizona has one of those that's Thursday, Friday, or Saturday.
Yeah. So at least K-State does have that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. You at least know it's going to be on the actual weekend. You may not have a Thursday or just you're sitting on pins and needles waiting. But it's not a huge deal. It doesn't impact me whatsoever. I prefer Friday games. Like, let me watch the game that I have to focus on, and then it's like an extra bye week. Then you have the whole weekend right there at your disposal. But I understand how it impacts staffs and everything.
Yeah, I don't disagree. How do you feel about Sunflower Showdown in October instead of November?
I like it. I think, well, my issue has always been in the past that where they have played that game at the end of the year, it wasn't a problem last year because they played it the week before, but like the fact that so many times it seemed like it was falling on like state championship Saturday, here's high school football again coming into it. Again, something that I do not give any ounce of care about in the world ever since I haven't been paid to care about anymore when I was working at K-Man or KGSO. But I understand that it is important to people, and I do think it's a little silly that so many times you were having the two schools in your state play their rivalry game the same day that high school football is doing their thing. So I do think that it being moved up is better. I like that it kind of breaks up in the middle of the season and you feel like you've got a bigger game, because it's also like last year is just really tough. KU and Iowa State are probably the two most, I don't know if they're the most anticipated games, but it's the game that fans get most riled up for. I think it's really tough to have those in back-to-back weeks. And so I think it's nice to have them split up a little bit, because this is what happens with all the other schools. You know, like Alabama is, and this is certainly not the same level, but Alabama's not playing LSU in game 11 and then playing Auburn in game 12. You know, like those have a little bit of distance between them. And I think if you're going to have teams and you're trying to understand the traditions and kind of rivalries that you have to give some help there. And so I think having distance between KU and Iowa State is honestly probably the biggest thing to me. And I really don't want that KU game being played the last week or the next to last week of the season, because I just think it impedes a lot with other stuff going on. I also thought it was kind of silly last year, and like this is on the KU side, but in K-State had to do it the year before, but both of those schools having to do their senior day festivities before they play that game, when we're well aware of like how meaningful that game is, obviously K-State. And now we know Lance Leipold, obviously I would imagine if he's a good coach, he's trying to build that up and make it important. So you're like having to go out there and hug and kiss your mom before the game. Like you're trying to play a football game 5 minutes from now. Like I'd be a little bit bothered by that. So I like the positioning of it for where it could fall the rest of the way. Now, we've already talked about the two roadies, but that is what it is.
The silly thing to me, I think, is that the Big 12 didn't want to protect Farmageddon, but has that as the quote-unquote rivalry week game for K-State. So I think I'd rather play KU the last week of the season, but I'm not going to just be like, about it. So it's like it's fine with me, but like it's more funny to me that they're like, we're going to put that on the rivalry week schedule, but we're not going to protect it.
Yeah, that's a good point. You're treating it like a rivalry game, but then it's like, we're not going to let you play it every single year. Just every 3 years, you're going to not play that game.
So so in the year that they don't have Farmageddon, are they just going to push KU back to the final game?
Probably.
Yeah. You're probably right about that. I don't know. Maybe you just start a new rivalry with
cats versus cats with Arizona. There you go.
Yeah,
there you go. Yeah. Of the teams K-State doesn't play this year, is there anybody that you say, hey, K-State is probably fortunate to miss that team on the schedule? Last year, I know people were upset about not facing Oklahoma, but like it's a break to not face them. You did still have to face Texas, who obviously was really good. You had a road trip to Texas Tech, all these other things going on. But who is the team that K-State doesn't play that you say that's a good break? Or maybe you look at it and you go, K-State really wasn't done any justice by who they avoid this season.
It's a good question. We only play one team in Texas. That's an interesting thing, right? You avoid TCU, Texas Tech, and Baylor. I don't know that I would be afraid of Baylor. I don't know that I would be afraid of TCU. I don't even know if I'd be afraid of Texas Tech. But, I mean, Tech can be dangerous if they get quarterback figured out and stay healthy. I mean, for some reason, they get their quarterbacks hurt more than anyone in the country, I think. So maybe Tech, but the best answer, and it's a weird one from me probably, I lean towards what? What about, Utah? That's probably the best answer. I forgot that.
Yeah.
Utah's definitely the best answer because they could win the league. Cam Rising's back. As long as he stays healthy, they're going to be very, very dangerous. But, a wild card here would be UCF because I think they have a chance to be pretty good. They got, KJ Jefferson, a quarterback, and when Gus Malzahn is on as a quarterback, he's typically really, really good. And I think they surprised some folks a little bit last year or in a positive trajectory, only getting more talented. So I would lean towards maybe UCF as my second answer, but I think the slam dunk answer is probably Utah.
Yeah, I think that it's Utah. That I don't really think that it's really that close. Like, UCF could surprise some people, but I think that Utah is a lot more scary right now than you'd think that UCF will be. I will say Cam Rising and Alan Bowman, two guys that I didn't think would be back in 2024.
Yeah, you can't get rid of those guys. I would say, I think looking around, you're probably fortunate too that you already had Arizona on the schedule and they didn't say, hey, go find somebody else to play in the non-con. So if you're K-State, there is a reasonable chance here, and we'll have to see how things work when it comes out, but K-State probably missed having to play a conference game that will impact their chances to get to Arlington against the two top favorites to be the Big 12 champ this year in Utah and Arizona, based off of what we would assume from last year. So you're probably also benefiting from already having Arizona as a non-con game, but it is just, you still have to play them and it still will impact your overall record. But as we've seen for Chris Klieman, does Chris Klieman care about the non-conference? Like, which non-conference game does he lose this year? Because that's kind of his thing ever since 2019. He won all three then, and then the others he's tossed a loss in there.
Yeah, but it's typically the ones you're not expecting, right? Because he's beaten what?
Well, he beats the snot out of the FCS teams, and then he was fine against the power competition until last year at Missouri. So Tulane's probably the perfect storm. Road game, G5 opponent. So put it down.
He won at Starkville. Mm-hmm. What was the other power conference team they played? I don't even.
They only played Missouri at home because 2020, yeah, they didn't have one. And then, we know how 2023 went. So, yeah.
Yeah. And they beat the snot out of Missouri. So I don't know. The Tulane game is probably worrisome just because if you look back at what those losses have been, I mean, not just Tulane, but you lost to Arkansas State in 2020. So
Iowa State lost this season at Ohio, mm-hmm, and then Tech lost at Wyoming. So that makes that game just scary.
And KU went on the road and somehow played a one-score Nevada game, yeah, with Nevada, who was one of the worst teams in college football all season. So these road games against G5 opponents, those are tricky.
Because they don't get that many, right? They don't get to host the biggies at home. Yep. So they get up for those games. This is going to be their Super Bowl. Like, when do teams like Tulane, Wyoming, Ohio, Nevada play a Power 5 team in their own stadium? So, yeah, you got to bring it. Those are dangerous games for Power 5 teams. I get why you kind of do it. You needed the scheduling, and you did like a 2-for-1 kind of deal. But, I don't think Chris Klieman is shaking – whoever's hand, was it John Curry's hand at doing this? I don't know.
Ole Miss almost lost at Tulane this past year, yeah, with Tulane's backup quarterback. So
it wasn't even Michael Pratt. So I think this was a John Curry contracted series, right?
I'd have to go back and look. I mean, I would maybe.
I don't think Gene's made. But... I don't think Gene's made really any non-conference scheduling decisions because I don't think he's had to because it was scheduled out for like 20 years.
That is true. If you look at what Tulane has going on, they have Duke coming next year, and then they will have Iowa State in 2029 and Mississippi State in 2032. So Tulane has wow. fiddled this thing to try and get teams. And I think OU was supposed to go there in 2021, but the hurricane, they ended up having to play it in Norman. So, yeah,
so whoever – that was a really good AD job there for Tulane getting those games. And I think it's the AD that's at Washington now. I think it was Troy Dannon.
Yeah, I think you're right. I know that he moved on somewhere. So they've done a nice job. That'll be a tricky game. I think it'll be fun to the road trip at least. Like you get a bunch of different places that, you know, obviously Iowa State people have seen. Houston, I don't think anybody actually wants to go there. But the others are kind of fun, unique places that you're not accustomed to. I mean, K-State's been going to Morgantown a lot now, but it's still a little different. What do we make of the road trips this year for K-State in terms of fun and excitement that it adds to the schedule?
I would say there's a little bit more uniqueness to it than I think we had last year, right? Because you're going to three new teams, BYU, Colorado, and Houston. You're going to three mountainous places there, BYU, Colorado, and West Virginia. Just call it the mountain schedule if you're Kansas State. I would say just in general – and I don't know if this is a good – some fans are going to look at this as a bad thing because they're going to view it as a step down because there's no longer a Texas or Oklahoma on the schedule. But for Kansas State specifically, they're facing a lot of new teams this year in the because you get Cincinnati, you get Arizona State, you get Houston, you get Colorado, you get BYU, and you get Arizona. So you're basically facing six new Big 12 teams.
Yeah. Real quick, John Curry was the one that scheduled the Tulane series. That was announced in 2016, October of that year. So that was Curry's last year, because I guess it was in 20 that following semester is when he left for the Tennessee job, and that went really well for him.
Only two original Big 12 schools on the Kansas State schedule this year: Oklahoma State and Iowa State.
Well, and KU.
And KU.
So, yeah. Oh, and Colorado.
Yeah.
Okay, but no, you lose that original tag once you leave. You can't leave, come back again, and still be called an original. In my
yeah. opinion. How about that? You lost Oklahoma last year, but you do get an original member of the conference back in Colorado.
What do you think they'll be? Do you think they're taking a step forward?
What'd they win? Four games last year. They might win five.
I was about to say they seem like a 4 or 5 win team again. Like,
that's just a game where here's the problem with Colorado. Number one road game. We've talked about this. I think it helps K-State that they have a bye before that. They should probably just suck some oxygen out of Veneer and get those guys prepared to be sucking wind at altitude. I think road game makes it a little tricky. And as we know with Colorado, if you just play smart football, you're probably going to beat them if you're a solid team, but there would be the concern that they do have all of that skilled talent that they could pop off and make you pay. Like we saw them compete with some good teams for stretches last year. Now it didn't last. And you know, the really good ones just took them home. But I also think like that might be early enough in the year. Cause that's probably going to be game 6 for both teams that you probably don't have Colorado that's quit yet. Unlike this year, like when they went on the road to Washington State, and it's like this team does not want to be there anymore. But I do think that they'll be improved. Just I still don't think that's a game that you should be overly worried about outside of just the traditional, like I'm a fan and we could lose every single game we play because I hate my team until they win with zeros on the clock.
Colorado does have a tough non-con. They played North Dakota State to open and then go to Nebraska.
Oh, so, I don't even you know who to cheer for in that game.
You know what? Kansas State's going to have a pretty good scout then. I mean, they just give North Dakota State a ring. That's probably a nice little asset. How painful will it be if we see Dylan Edwards score multiple touchdowns on the Cats?
Probably not very fun. I will say at least it would be happening away from home. I think it would sting a little bit more if it was in Manhattan for people. But it'll be that'll be an interesting one to see. I mean, I'm fascinated by it. I'm excited for that game in particular because, like, obviously growing up, saw plenty of Colorado, but I myself have never been to a game in Boulder for football or basketball. So I think it's just going to be kind of fun to see more of those, like, old Big 12 games that I remember. Like, that's why Missouri the last 2 years was fun. It'd be, you know, seeing Nebraska in basketball it's just kind of felt nice to see opponents from my childhood get together. So I, you know, a little bit of nostalgia there. And obviously I think probably a pretty a cool spot to see a game, even though it does look a little old and outdated, but I look forward to the Colorado road trip.
I will add real quick, Colorado does have a bye before the K-State game too.
Okay. All right. Both teams on byes, getting ready for each other.
Perfect. What about the Arizona State, November 16th? Do they get a bye before us?
Arizona State does not. Oh. They play against UCF the week before.
Oh, yeah. See, get him, Gus. That one up with a dub. Sun Devils going down.
Get him, Gus. Do it for us, son. Let's see here. So K-State, looking at their opponents and who will be coming off of byes when they play them. Oklahoma State, they're going to be in for it. They play Utah at home the week before they play at K-State.
I thought you were saying Oklahoma State had a bye week again before us, and I was
O State has a week for bye. They actually asked. They said, "Hey, can we just have one before we play K-State every year? Get us ready for that." Oklahoma State plays Utah before they play K-State. West Virginia, they get back-to-back home games. They'll play Iowa State before that. We already talked about KU. They play Houston at home, depending on how you look at that. The road trip to Houston, they also play Utah the week before K-State, a home game for them. So Utah might be setting these teams up to be beat twice, as Chris Kleiman
doesn't
says.
Get Utah, so Utah is Kansas State's best friend in 24.
Yes, very good point. Cincinnati, you'll never believe it. The week before they play K-State,
Utah.
No, on the road at Iowa State. I got you guys there. And then that last one, Iowa State, the week before they play K-State. Okay, I'm not joking. They are at Utah. I am dead serious. This is everybody. I like this schedule more than ever for K-State now. I'm bought in.
Especially because Utah is like the most physical team in the new Big 12.
Yeah. Everybody either plays Iowa State or Utah.
Yeah. All right.
And Iowa State is also pretty physical.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, they're bringing back promising young guys. I mean, Rocco Becht was just freshman of the year, played well. Abu Sama had great games against BYU and K-State, so maybe that correlates.
If you had to pick the four like most physical teams in the league, it's probably Utah, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, and K-State.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably right. All right, I'm going to flash the big schedule up one more time. Right now, off the cuff, I'm going to start with DY. What is the record of the Wildcats after 12 games next season?
All right, I'm going to say I got to go through these. I'll say beat UT
Martin. You can
go
game by game real quick. You can knock them out. We'll just let you process it for everybody.
Dub over UT Martin. I will say I'll say a win at Tulane, but I'm not going to feel great about it. I'll say a win against Arizona because Friday night games typically favor the home team. I think we've seen that over
time. We found that out last year.
Yeah. I think an extra day. I don't love the BYU talent right now. I'll say they win at BYU, even though that's tricky. And they'll beat Oklahoma State. Wow. I'm good. you get a bye, so I think a win at Colorado. Watch. They'll lose at West Virginia, I will say.
Okay. I just got to say, that's really good. Like, guy, the second the schedule comes out, trying to figure out where his team loses is by being like, yeah, they'll lose. that's schedule loss right there. They'll lose to West Virginia.
Because it literally was having a hard time finding a loss. Now they could lose at BYU and Tulane, Arizona, but I'll say 6-1, lose at West Virginia, beat Kansas at home, win at Houston. Gosh, I think they went out. I'm going to 11-1. I think you're on mute there, sir.
Oh, yep. Sorry. Was talking to the baby. There you go. DY
11-1. Homer DY there. I will say, like, if you like look into how those things play out, like, it is a little bit tougher to find a loss than I thought.
Yeah. If they navigate September well, like, it is very hard to find a loss. I won't go game by game. I'll just rip it and say 10-2.
Okay.
Blindly, that's what I would have done too, but I went game by game and got myself into trouble there.
Which I think 10-2 is what I had K-State at last year before the season. And I picked losses at Texas and Texas Tech. That didn't really work out the way it was anticipated, but
I had 10-2 as well. I think I had losses at Texas Tech and I think at home against TCU.
The thing is, boy, you look like a real idiot for that one. No, the thing is with this, like, there's not a team as tough as Texas on this schedule. So, like, last year you knew road trip at Texas, that's probably not a game you win. And that was even before we knew Texas was college football playoff good. But, like, this is the thing with the new Big 12 is that the expectation for what K-State can do every season is going to be higher, where I think people always expect K-State to be a good football team and to, you know, have a chance to win 9, 10, 11 games any given season. But you don't expect it to happen consistently. Depending on the schedule you get in this new 16-team Big 12, high numbers of wins should become a more common occurrence for K-State, especially because of the staff and the talent that they have acquired over the last, you know, however many years with Chris Klieman. I mean, yeah, they'll beat UT Martin. You should beat Tulane. Is Michael Pratt? He's moving on, right?
Yeah, it's gonna be Ty Thompson.
They got the Oregon transfer quarterback.
That's right. Yeah, he's probably solid. But if you're transferring from Oregon to Tulane without Willie Fritz there, it's probably nothing crazy. Yeah, that's
why I picked the Cats. I was like, no Pratt, no Fritz, give me the Cats. And then
is Lance Robinson gone? So no more revenge game.
I think he should be there. I think.
Oh, all right. Well, I think K-State should probably be 2-0 to start. The Arizona game is tricky. I think this is just going to, that's probably going to come down to what K-State is able to be on offense with some of the weapons. We know Avery Johnson and DJ Giddens will be great, but it's going to be a lot of other guys stepping into new roles. Probably on a game, but like game week, I'll pick K-State to win that. Right now, I'll say that they will lose just because we don't know how some of the pieces will come together on offense.
You got to take the home team on a Friday night is my theory.
Well, I'm going to make everybody happy. I'm going to say that game's on a Saturday, that they're just punking us all, trying to get us riled up about it, and it ends up being on a Saturday. I do believe it'll be on a Friday. All right, good point. I'm in 3-0 for the Cats. All these other teams, K-State should be better than. So let's just I'll one up DY here because these predictions don't matter. We're what, like 7 months away from the start of the season, 7 months and a day. The Cats are going 12-0. I think we knew this before the schedule came out, but now I see the schedule. I see how many teams have to play Utah and then K-State. The Cats are 12-0. So book the rooms in Arlington now and start thinking about who K-State's facing it in Bill Snyder Family Stadium for the first round of the playoff.
Well, 12-0, you'll probably get a bye if you're 12-0.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah, just, you know, book the tickets for that, whatever bowl game they shove it to. So,
I hope that puts him in the Rose Bowl and John Kurtz has to tout the Rose Bowl since he hates that game.
The Rose Bowl, great. That'd be awesome to be with all those stuffy people that don't actually like college football.
That 12-0 pick was for everybody that doesn't say that Mason says good things about K-State.
yeah, come on. YouTube comments saying that I must be a KU fan because I've never said anything nice about K-State. If you got a good team and you give me a good reason to say something good about you, I'll say it. So I'm saying it about Chris Klieman's team. He's got Avery Johnson. He's winning 9 games or more in season. So, yeah, K-State probably does not go unbeaten next year, but I can't pick a game out right there that I just say they should lose that game. I could do that last year with the schedule. I can't this year. I'd say Arizona. I mean, Arizona and KU are probably the two best teams you play next season. You get them at home.
Yeah.
Like, that's a pretty big boost to your chances.
And all in all, the Arizona game doesn't really matter per se, with that not being a Big 12 standings game.
Also true. So if they lose it, I'm just going to neglect it and not even say it happened. So
if they win, I'm counting it towards the conference record. But like, Kansas State's the only team that went 10-0 in the league this year.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, they don't even need to play the Big 12 championship game if K-State goes unbeaten and beats Arizona. Just, we already know they won more Big 12 games than everybody else. That's how it works. All right.
I think the same thing is the case this year, too, for Baylor, Utah. So I have to hope one of those comes to
Okay. Well, yeah, K-State and Utah are probably going to be 10-0 Big 12 teams playing each other in Arlington. And then we'll get to have the conversation about how the committee decides to start screwing over the Big 12 and ACC now in the new version of everything. It's like K-State went 12-1 and got left out of the 12-team playoff. How the heck does that work? So I can't wait to have that conversation when it happens for the first time. But that will do it for us. Reminder, K-State basketball at home against Oklahoma tonight. They try and snap a two-game losing streak and avoid losing three straight for the first time under Jerome Tang. So we will be there. We'll have full coverage from that game. Previews up over on K-State Online at On3 right now. And then plenty of other news from the K-State football schedule coming out, as well as some football recruiting news that keeps coming at you over at K-State Online. So for Drew Galloway, Derek Young, I'm Mason Voth. Thanks for watching K-State Online.